The joys that we have as God's children is to be people that pray. I'm not sure how you present your praise, and that's why I titled it this morning. I got asked several times before I came up here this morning, are you nervous? Well, my natural thought is I've been doing this for 20 years. For goodness sakes, why would I be nervous? But I want you to understand, for 20 years I've been nervous. I share from my heart what God teaches me. And as I share this particular psalm with you this morning, I want you to understand there's a great deal of joy and celebration in the fact that we have a God that we have the ability to praise. I love to praise God. I don't know about you. It sometimes is challenging. It sometimes can be difficult, but I love to praise God. You can see it in some people's faces when they do it. You can hear it in some people's tones when they say it. You can look at a lot of different things and realize there's a great deal of joy in just being a person who can praise. So the next question was obvious. When do you do it? We're going to look at the text of Psalm 100 this morning. The text you'll see up there is the way I learned it. I'm an old-time boy. I'm a King James kind of person. So that's what you'll see up there this morning. But the reason it's up there is because it's easier for me to memorize what I've already memorized. When I take the 100th Psalm and it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing, that's what I feel. That's what I've learned to celebrate. I have a different text in front of me this morning, and it starts out differently, and I have to read it, and that's okay. I just have to read it. It says, shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Well, okay. One of the challenges sometimes is realizing just where this joy begins. This particular psalm, the 100th Psalm, is the end of a group of psalms that the people of God used as a thank offering. They used it, and it represented the second coming of Christ. Christ coming in all his glory, taking reign over all the earth, and they used it to help them to realize it's an opportunity to praise God. But it's also, within its text, an opportunity for us to realize that we praise God every day. From the time you get up in the morning till the time you go to bed at night, you have an opportunity, and it's your choice to praise God. You look at the text, and he begins it and gives us a great definition. You can look at the picture and you can say, okay, this is a millennial setting. We're in the temple. It's in Jerusalem. And all these things are taking place. He's about to be crowned king, priest, and he's head over all. And this is Jesus. But I want you to understand, from the time I get up in the morning, I hope you as well, to the time you go to bed at night, you never leave the presence of Jesus. So how do you get up in the morning? My wife probably already knows what's coming. How do you get up in the morning? When you roll over in the morning and you put your feet out, whether you put it on a nice, warm, comfortable carpet or an ice cold floor, do you wake up and say, good morning, Lord? Or do you wake up and say, good Lord, it's morning? Do you have to have that cup of coffee to get you started? Well, I was never a coffee drinker. I know that disappoints a lot of Baptists. But I was never a coffee drinker. So it wasn't difficult for me to get started early morning. I got my caffeine. Jan will tell you, I got my caffeine in Pepsi. Okay? I didn't get it in coffee. So I woke up and I had a cold drink in the morning and I was raring to go. I have always been a morning person. I get up in the morning and I'm ready to go. I get home at night, you put me home at night and sit me down for a couple of minutes and put my feet up and relax me. You have to wake me up. I'm a morning person. I can start the day early, and I learned that going to seminary. I learned waking up at the beginning of the day when it was peaceful and quiet and the kids hadn't woken up yet, that I could get a whole lot more done. And this psalm gives us a challenge in taking who we are and making a time of praise and thanksgiving. It starts at the very beginning when he says, shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Make a joyful noise. We tell people who can't sing that, don't we? Make a joyful noise. You don't have to be able to carry a tune to praise God. It's good if you can. It's great if you can't. You're just told, and I'm just told, that we are to be a people of praise. Whether you're 2 or 32 or 92, we're a people of praise. We are given direction to make with intention, of course intentional. It's what behind you that motivates you to be a person of praise, no matter what your situation. So one of the things I would challenge you to do to begin with is make it intentional. Make your praise intentional. Make it an intentional part of your day, no matter how your day is going. You and I have been told by God to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. How do you sing? How do you sing? Well, most of you know I can carry a tune. Loudly. Okay? I've done that for a long time. But I've never had the joy of being part of a praise team because I've been a pastor. Pastors don't sing with a praise team. I understand here you're grateful for that. But this retired pastor sings with your praise team. And I have never had a chance to do that. I've always been a hymns-only kind of guy. I can sing the hymns, the praise songs. You know, they're difficult for me. I don't get into them too much. I'm not very good at them. That's because I never practice them like I practice the hymns and all of those other things. But I was just not up to excuses. I just didn't do it. Then I came here, and I found a great deal of joy. I shared with our Sunday school class several weeks ago, one of the things that I have come to be able to do that I never used to do before is enjoy the worship as praise. Now, preaching is a joy. Sharing the message of God's message is joy. I'm sure the pastor stands up here every Sunday and finds a great deal of joy in sharing what God gives him to share to us every week. But it's different to stand back there with a microphone and sing. First of all, you're not so critical of your praise team as you might be of your pastor. But every church is different. You might say, oh, look at that guy in the end. And in fact, the pastor referred to us as three bald guys standing up here on a Sunday morning. We have a good time. The guys that are up here have a good time. When I am able to make Wednesday night practice, we have a good time. When I come in here at 8:30 on a Sunday morning to practice, we're getting past our coffee to have a good time. But it's an opportunity to praise. And you can tell by looking at the faces of the people who are up here that they are praising God. They're not up here. We went to a church as we were visiting churches where it looked like a show. Okay? It honestly looked like a show. The drummer was in the back in the center, and he had the cage around him. And the cage is simply to not make him so loud. But he was in the cage behind him, and they had their guitars a-going, and they had the keyboard a-popping. And everything almost looked like it had been prepared as a show. The folks that stand up here on Sunday morning look like they're here to do the best, but to praise. Because that's who we are. We are a people of praise. And you do that as you worship together on Sunday morning, but what about the rest of the week? For those of you who are young parents, I have 4 children. When my oldest was 13, his sister was 11. Their brother was 9. And Sarah was 6. We had 4 children. They were a ball. And you believe that? I have some other things I could tell you. They were good. My oldest son on Sunday morning, when he was about 7 years old, would sit in the second row right there. And I want you to understand, Mom and Dad were in the choir, and he sat there by himself because his sisters and brothers were in the nursery. He sat there by himself and didn't move. He might have a book open, turning a few pages, as quiet as can be, well behaved. And then his sister got old enough to sit in church. And the other brother, and the other sister. and you think, oh, things are going to be great. They're going to do so well in church, and then they got so active. And it seems like preacher's kids have greater expectations. You may have greater expectations of Pastor Dave's kids or Pastor Zach's kids than you do of any other child in the church. Don't. They're still kids. They're still going to do some fun things. I had a music director in a church on the shore whose kids seemed to be super active. You could stand up there and preach on Sunday morning, and they mom and the kids were sitting about 10 or 12 rows back, and all of a sudden, climbing underneath, there sat their son. Kids can be active. Sometimes you can get so wound up in things as a parent that you don't catch everything that your kids are in the middle of. And I've seen that happen a lot. So what do? You get embarrassed? Or do you get to praising God for the creative kids that he has blessed you with? All kinds of things create praise in us. If we serve God in everything that we do, and we're the people who have become a people of praise, then as we approach everything that happens, we're going to praise God. And you know, sometimes people look at people and begin to critique their praise. We don't want to say Baptists are judgmental, do we? But they critique their praise. Well, I want you to understand, praise, while it can be within a group, is very personal. It's between you and God. There are some songs out there talking about seeing the face of God and the ability. And what are you going to do when you see the face of your God? Are you going to dance, or are you going to fall on your face? Well, I'll be very honest with you. I'm the kind that's going to fall flat on my face. I'm not a dancer. But I'm not going to criticize those that do. Because so there are some good biblical examples of men and women who danced before the king, who danced before the throne. And that's maybe how we present our praise to God. Some people raise their hands. Anything wrong with that? No. Some people bow their head. Anything wrong with that? No. Praise is personal. Praise is how you relate to God in what you're singing or what you're saying. How do you drive down the street? Well, I guess it would have to ask you, the first question would be, what kind of music do you listen to when you drive down the street? Well, I have some kids who would be into the Beatles and things like that. Well, Grandpa's not into the Beatles, I'll tell you. It may have been my generation a little bit, but I'm certainly not into the Beatles. But you put a good Christian song on there that I can sing along to and that I know the words to, and man, I'll just sing driving down the street. And it's kind of weird in the summer when the windows are rolled down and that guy pops up next to you with the boombox going and the cars are shaking. And I want you to understand, God has blessed me so well with a voice that I can outsing most boomboxes. And I try. And I get some of the strangest looks, but I'm not doing it for any other purpose than to give God the glory. To praise God. You sing in the shower? Do you praise God? What do you do when you're at work, standing in line? Man, this has been a good weekend to practice it, hasn't it been? If you've gone out shopping at all and had to stand in line, what do? Complain about the line, right? Boy, I wish I had more cashiers. You know, most places it would be nice if they did. But you know, you could get a good Christian witness and testimony standing there in line. But you praise God for where he has placed you and what you're going through every day. You make that joyful noise. Intentionally make that joyful noise. You intentionally serve the Lord in everything that you do with praise. I love the second and third verse where it says, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Know that he is God. He has made us. Did you know that? Did you know that God made you? Exactly like you are. Now, you may have tried to do some things to make adjustments. I do that all the time. It's called a diet. Okay? You may try to make adjustments. And people try to make adjustments in different ways, but how do you relate that to God? How do you extend the fact that God has made you, he's made you the way you are, that means I can be fat if I want to, right? I don't think so. I also find scriptures tell me God told me to take care of my body, so I got to work on it a little bit. And I've always had to, ever since I got married. I want you to know I was as thin as a rail until I got married. I was so thin when I got married. I probably weighed maybe 125 pounds when I got married, fresh out of the service. And God bless me, somebody that really knew how to cook. Well, I also want you to, I want you also to know I love to cook as well. I love to bake. Baking is my thing. I love to bake bread from scratch and all of that stuff. Get your hands in there and just have a good old time. And I want you to understand that stuff's not good for you. If you're saying 125 pounds. Well, I weigh a tad bit more. I'm a bit older. I don't ever want to be that again. I'd like to be 225 pounds. But I'm not there yet. But God still made me. And I don't worry about me. I'm diabetic. I have high blood pressure. My cholesterol is out of whack at times. Last two doctor's visits, I was told, you best get something in line here. And I have to attempt and work at doing that. But God still made me the way I am. I still understand there are things and challenges in my life that I have to deal with, and God made me that way so that I could deal with them and work with them and become better at serving him and what he wants me to do. And I take the time to continually praise him and thank him for that. He tells us in that verse as well that he made us, we are his. We didn't make ourselves. I want you to understand, no matter how hard you try, he made you. You are his. You are the sheep of his pasture. When this time comes for this psalm to be sang in its reality and Christ is returned and it's part of the millennium and you're going through that process, you'll begin to understand how great it is that God is in charge and that he's made us and taken care of us. So you can now begin to understand a little bit more about why I praise God. This is my favorite psalm. I love this psalm. Because when I get down, when I get discouraged, I memorized it so that I can say it again, and it reminds me that God has blessed me so greatly. Does that mean we don't have problems? No. Understand, everybody's going to have problems. We have a member of this congregation that lost a family member this week. We have a member of this congregation who's having a tough time in their life with kids. We have members of this congregation probably who may have a husband and wife relationship that's having a hard time as well. Does that mean I stop praising God? No. I understand there are things that I have to do, but I still praise God because he's there to help me through to take the next step that I have to take in life. Mm-hmm. One of the things I said last time I spoke here is I believe in the sovereignty of God. The reason I believe in that is because I've seen him do so much. I've seen him make changes in life that I couldn't have made myself, that my family couldn't have made, couldn't have changed, but God made them change. I've seen it happen in other people's lives as well. And I believe that we can trust God for everything that he gives us and realize the importance of who he is and the changes that we need to make even within our own lives. If he made me, if he takes care of me, if he's sovereign, he's in charge, how do I act at work? Ooh, how do you act at work? Do you praise God when you walk in the door at work? Do you praise God while you're doing the job that he's called you to do? Do you praise God at the end of the day for the things that you were able to accomplish? And I want you to understand, there's not a job in this world that the world has set up that we can take and make perfect. Even God has blessed me in the years that I served in ministry as a pastor. And now that I moved to retire from full-time ministry, I volunteer more than I think I pastored sometimes before. But in the joy and celebration of that, when I go to the job that I have to pay the bills that God has provided me with, there are always unusual circumstances. Things that can be discouraging. I want you to understand, if you deal with the public, it can be funny. People don't realize, and I'll give you this as a heads up, when you go into a drive-thru at a restaurant, when you get by that speaker, they hear everything you're saying inside. Okay? If you're on the cell phone, there's another person in that conversation, probably five or six inside, listening to what's going on, because we have five people that are required to wear headsets where I work. And every time somebody pulls up, they say, could you give me a minute? And yes, we'll give them a minute. That's not a problem. Just let us know when you're ready. And they just continue phone conversations. Some of the weirdest things that people discuss. People discuss their problems with people on the phone. People do it all. And to me, it can be some. If you're not ready to order, why are you pulling up to drive through? You know, I mean, give me a break. I could get frustrated, but I don't. And I work with teenagers. Can you believe that? I work with teenagers. And can you imagine what they do sometimes? I work with some good kids. I work with some real jerks. But God says in the midst of all of it, I get to praise Him. And I do. I like to whistle. My boss hates it when I whistle, but I whistle hymns, okay? He doesn't know what I'm whistling. He's from Nigeria. He doesn't know the music of the day. He doesn't know the old music of the day that I'm used to. And I'll, you know, whistle while I'm working and doing something or cleaning something. And that aggravates the daylights out of him because he sees, for some reason, I'm happy. And how can I be happy if he's making me do something he wouldn't do? Okay? But there's joy in what we do, an opportunity in what we do to praise God that I have a job, that my bills are paid, that He continually takes care of me, that I'm able to provide for those that live within my house and share with those that I need to share with, that God puts in my path. God continues to give me things to be in praise about. One of the fun things that I've learned is to really accept what He's giving me. This psalm talks about coming into the presence of God. Well, I know from what Scripture teaches I'm always in the presence of God because of my relationship with Jesus Christ, but how do I come to church on Sunday morning? What is my intent for coming to church on Sunday morning? I have one intent. I used to be a couple. But I have one intent when I come. Praise God. Okay? In anything I do. You'll find out as you get to know me a little bit more. First of all, that I love people. Guess where I was Thursday morning, Thursday night, Friday? Out with people. Didn't buy hardly anything. But I love being out with people. I'll go sit in a mall and watch people. I enjoy doing that. So that's part of me. The other part of me is I like to look for things that I can do for people. People I don't know. We had a situation go through our line in our drive-thru one time. The first car offered to pay for the second car behind it. I said, sure, no problem. We took care of it, took their money. Second car got up there and, oh, they were blessed. They took care of it. And they just... The next car did the same thing. I'm going to pay for the car behind me. I thought, man, this is neat. This is good. Next car pulled up, didn't offer to pay for themselves. This had been prearranged so that car didn't have to pay for their own. I guess mom was paying for everybody and paid for three cars of food. Well, that's a different kind of going out for dinner and mom picking up the bill kind of thing. But I've seen it happen, and my daughter works for Chick-fil-A in Bowie. But I've seen it happen at the one at Wall Chapel the same way, where a car after car after car after car will pay for the car behind them. They don't end up paying for themselves. They pay for somebody else. Whatever it is, they don't even, you know, just tell me what it is I pay for. Not do I have enough money to cover it. Well, I told my boss that, and he said, well, those people that go to Chick-fil-A, they can afford it. What's the difference? It's a mindset. It's who we are. When I come to worship, I come to praise God. I'll do it in any way he provides for me to be able to do it. I'll get up and come in here at 8:30 on Sunday morning and look forward to singing. Most people are waking up on Sunday morning and going, oh, 9:30, we got to be at Sunday school. I don't think I'll make it this morning. I think I'll get there at 10:30. Well, you missed a blessing by not coming and being a part of Sunday school. There are times when I'm here and I don't attend Sunday school, and there's always a reason for it. God and I are dealing with something, and we deal with it, and he takes care of it. But I come for God to teach me in a number of ways. But I come to praise. Because worship is praise. We've sang about how you approach and what you do, and you can lift your hands, and you can bow down, and you can kneel, and you can do all kinds of different things. But I hope you come to church on Sunday morning to worship and to praise. Because that's what we're called to do. You'll also find something else, and you'll have to tell me no if you don't want me to do it. I like to hug. I've been a hugger for years. In the church that I pastored, almost every person got a hug, except I knew one lady. She didn't want a hug. And that's okay. That doesn't offend me. That doesn't bother me. I'm just a person who loves to help and honor and share with people. And I had one guy come up and say, I feel offended, Pastor. I said, why is that? He's 6'8". He weighs about close to 300 pounds. He said, Pastor, you don't hug me on Sunday morning. I said, I can't reach you on Sunday morning. And we laughed, and I hugged him. It's not a big thing. It's a greeting, a blessing that I have acquired over the years. Now you have to be careful who you hug nowadays. You have to be careful what you say nowadays. And that's okay. So if you don't want me to hug you, a hand just like that tells me, Seth, that's not a problem. Or you can say, I don't hug. I've been with people who don't shake hands. That's okay too. But it's a blessing to know the people around you, to love the people around you, to worship with the people around you, to praise with the people around you, and to be able to consider the family that God has blessed you with here on Sunday morning. So it's a worship praise as well. I love what he gives us at the end of this psalm when he says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For God is good. Do you think God is good? In the church that I pastored, I had one gentleman. He was just as outspoken as could be from time to time. And I'd get up in a message and I'd preach and I'd say, God is good. And all of a sudden you'd hear from across the room, all the time. Well, yes, God is good, and God is good all the time. No matter what I'm going through, God is good. And it allows me to praise him always. We are to understand that he is God, that he is worthy of praise, that we give thanks to him and praise his name. He is good, his love is eternal, his faithfulness endures through all generation. God is going to be faithful. Okay? He's already been faithful. I hope you've had an opportunity over the Thanksgiving holiday to just stop a moment and be thankful to God for what he's blessed you with. And you say, but Pastor, I don't have much. Well, you've got something. And you'll have more when you realize that God has blessed you. You realize those little things, my goodness, are such a blessing. Because there are a lot of people who don't have the little things that we have. The joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the patience, the goodness, the kindness. All those things that are part of the fruit of the Spirit are who we are. They are ours. We can share them. I got stuck this morning in reviewing over my message because I was in here and I like to walk. I've done this for years. I walk while I'm thinking. And a song stuck in my head. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, who died on Calvary's tree from sin to set me free. Someday he's coming back. What glory that will be. Wonderful his love for me. Just stuck in my mind, and I kept going through it, a couple of different keys, and just enjoyed the moment, and then got back and was able to focus on what I was doing. Sometimes God uses external things, other things, to help us realize how great he is. I want you this morning to take a moment and reflect on what your life is all about. I want you to understand that God understands every aspect of who you are. God loves you. He created you. He made you. And he's calling you to be a people of praise. It doesn't have to be in key. It doesn't have to be done in harmony. But it needs to be done so that you continually give God the glory. So that you continually understand he's in charge of my morning. I remember raising four little kids and going to seminary. I mean, I cleaned the library at night, got off about midnight, came home, went to bed, got up at 4 a.m. to study before my kids woke up. Got up and was supposed to be fresh and ready and went to classes all day. And I remember thinking in that process, man, this is tough. But it was fun. Life isn't made to be easy. It's made to be celebrated, to be praised for who God is and what he does. And there are things that can discourage you every day, aren't there? All you got to do is watch the news. You can get discouraged, can't you? Man, all you got to do is listen to some of the folks around you, and you could get frustrated. But God loves you. God created you. God has a purpose for you. You and I need to simply remember to give him thanks, to praise him. And I'm not telling you how to do it. I'm telling you, you'll do it when you feel it. When you know that God created you. When you know that God's in charge. When you know that he's with you every moment of every day. And you'll have an opportunity to continually praise him for who he is. Have you thought about that? The little song I sang puts it very simply. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life, as John 3:16. It's yours. You can have that kind of a relationship with God by simply trusting in the gift that we're about to celebrate a season for. At Christmas. And you can begin to be thankful for everything that happens in your life every day. And after we pray this morning and have our closing prayer here in a moment, one of the challenges for you is to simply make a decision. Every worship service for me is a decision that has to be made. How am I going to respond to what I now know? I hope you'll respond by either reflecting on the relationship that you have with Christ. If you don't know Christ, that you'll take an opportunity to find out about. There are people here who would love to introduce you to him. Pastor Zach will be up around here. I'm going to be up here for a few moments. When we sing that song, one of the challenges is for you to simply take a step forward, and we'll share Christ with you. You may want to come up and pray about a certain circumstance or situation in your life, and we would love to pray with you. We will be more than happy to. Or you may want to pray by yourself. Feel free to. But know that God hears what you're praying. Know that God loves you for who you are. And know that this church is here to serve him in praise, in worship, and you and each other as a part of this family. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we're thankful for the joy that you give us in Jesus. We're thankful for the praise that we are able to bring for who you are and what you say. And I pray, Father, for your word, that we'll realize this morning the importance of being yours, first of all. And if, Father, someone is here and never made that decision, pray that they'll find someone that will help them, to tell them, to let them know. Or, Father, they'll simply lift up their heart to you and put their faith and trust in Christ. But at the same time, Father, that we'll walk away from here praising God this morning. It is so good to know that you're my God. I am so grateful that I have an opportunity to praise you, to lift you up, to share with others what you have already shared with me. And I pray, Father, that we'll carry that with us through this week. In all that we do, we'll bring glory to the name of Jesus. It's his name we pray. Amen.